Welcome to Advent. Today we begin a new liturgical year. We start a fresh church season. We can look forward to weeks of parties and singing and anticipating visits with family and friends, the giving and receiving of gifts. So what better way to start this new chapter in our common life than with a passage from Scripture that is just chock-a-block full of apocalyptic goodness? The world's going to end. That's what's happening here. Jesus has completed his ministry. He's in Jerusalem. Soon the trial is going to take place. He will be crucified and resurrected. But we're not quite there yet. He's at the temple as today's reading unfolds. And people are commenting on the magnificence of this structure. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's amazing. And Jesus essentially says, don't get too attached to it. It's going to be razed to the ground. Bye-bye. Going away. Now, people in the church have debated for millennia just what this passage was pointing to. Is it the end of the world? And indeed, the long-rumored second coming of Jesus that's being foretold here? Or is this a text that is pointing to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Romans? Is it a commentary on what was going on at that day and time? Guess what? It doesn't matter. For there is a lesson for each of us to take away from this text. Whether we read Scripture literally or metaphorically, whether we think that the second coming indeed is going to occur, or we think that is something that has already transpired. Jesus, through Matthew, has a lesson for us to hold in our hearts during this Advent season. The critical verses for us are the ones that talk about the days of Noah. Now, the interesting thing about this text is that unlike others in Scripture, which lift up Noah, talking about this righteous individual who heard God and followed God in a way that nobody else in his time did, Jesus here talks about everybody else. And the way he describes them is worthy of our attention too. For these are not the fornicating, abominating, awful, sinning people we encounter in Genesis when we read about God's fury and desire to wipe out humanity. These people seem like average James and Joes, going about their business, living their lives, doing their thing, getting married. And we read that some will be out at work and harvesting the fields. But these poor, poor people, because they're doing their thing on Monday, and on Tuesday, bam, it'll all be over. Gone. They don't have any clue as to what is coming down the pike. Jesus tells this story because he wants to get the attention of the people who have been following him, who have been admiring him, who have been trying to get a sense of what the future held for them. And his message is pretty clear. Wake up, pay attention, be alert. Something big is coming. And you need to be ready. Now, as I was reflecting on this week's passage, I wondered if there might be a more contemporary illustration that would be used in telling this story today. And I ultimately decided that we could find the answer in outer space. As many of you probably remember from your high school science classes, there is an asteroid belt out beyond Mars. And there are big rocks and little rocks spinning around, flying around the solar system. And each one has its own orbit around the sun. And sometimes their orbits take them right through our neighborhood. 65 million years ago, an asteroid about 1 kilometer across decided to pay a visit to Earth. It slammed into the Yucatan Peninsula, and the impact threw up huge amounts of debris into the atmosphere, blocking out the sun, causing temperatures to plummet, leading to the extinction of the dinosaurs and setting evolutionary trajectories on this planet off in a different direction that created space for mammals like you and me to arise. Those poor, clueless dinosaurs just stomping around the primeval jungle, eating their leaves, eating each other. They knew nothing. And then, bam, it was all over. Well, we can sure feel good because we're smarter than dinosaurs, right? Except guess what? There is another planet-killing-sized rock out there with our name on it. I can guarantee you it is going to slam into the Earth someday. Celestial mechanics at work. Why don't we just go home? But wait. Fortunately for us, there are people who pay attention to these problems. And already 90% of the asteroids that are deemed to be potential threats to the Earth have been identified and are being tracked, and none of them are on target to hit us anytime soon, and people are looking for the other 10%, and fortunately, really smart people in government and academia and elsewhere are thinking about ways we can deal with an asteroid if it appears out of the belt and we haven't seen it before. Here's an illustration for us. We can pay attention. We can be on guard. We can be ready. We don't know when the asteroid with our name on it is coming. But rather than say it's somebody else's problem for tomorrow, we can say it's our challenge for today. That's what Advent is all about. The kingdom of God is coming here. It is going to hit us and overwhelm us. Indeed, if we take Scripture seriously, it has already begun to unfold. The moment Jesus was resurrected, we were hit. And Advent is a season when we can begin to prepare ourselves to live into this new reality that God is fashioning. It is a time when we can look and we can listen, when we can be alert. Now, I'm not telling people to sit in front of their computer monitors or find some asteroid app to follow on their phone every minute of the day. But as Christians, we can prepare for the advent of the kingdom of heaven, for the arrival of the Son of Man. We can do that through prayer and the reading of Scripture, through serving our neighbors, through caring for one another, by engaging in fellowship, by being the church that God calls us to be. And by doing that, we will find our priorities changing, our attitudes transform. We will see ourselves beginning to conform to the image that God has in mind for us. We will become Advent people, and that will enable us to become citizens of God's new creation. So what's the upside in doing all of this for us? Well, you may have noticed that today's sermon is titled, Expect the Unexpected. And to put this title in context, I would like to share an observation by Donald Rumsfeld. Some of you may remember this quote from 2002, and it was the subject of a bit of ridicule, but the truth is, it is actually very profound. Mr. Rumsfeld said at a press conference, "Reports that say that something hasn't happened are always interesting to me, because as we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know. And if one looks throughout the history of our country and other free countries, it is the latter category that tend to be the difficult ones. What is true for nation states is true for us as individuals. It is the unknown unknowns that will throw us off our stride. It is the unexpected illness, the suddenly failing relationship, the lost job, the dashed hope, the world gone crazy. It's these things that we don't plan for because we don't know when they're going to happen that will hit us. But if we are living as God's people, if we are praying and if we are studying scripture and if we are engaged in the life of the church, we are availing ourselves of the strength and a power and a grace that will carry us forward through even the darkest and most challenging moments in our lives. So, welcome to Advent. The Christ child is coming. The Christ child has come. The Christ child is here. Get ready. Expect the unexpected.